Our scripture reading today comes from Colossians chapter 3. I'll be reading from verses 12 through 16. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. With gratitude in your heart, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. God add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. My message today is entitled, If Scrooge Can Do It, So Can You. Possibly one of my favorite redemption stories comes from Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, and it is only with the smallest amount of embarrassment that I will admit to you that my favorite film version of this comes from The Muppets. I'm sorry. It's good. Like the lamp, not the rat. If you watch it, you'll know that line. It's good. My favorite moment in the book, though, it occurs when, after the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future have visited with Ebenezer Scrooge, Scrooge makes the vow. He says, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. In moving from Christmas to New Year's this year, I think that Scrooge's pledge is very apropos for us to consider today. And it seems to me, much like Scrooge, and much like Scrooge after the visit from his first ghost, in order to get to a place where we can consider that pledge I just gave you, we too might need to visit the past. Now, in this case, relatively speaking, it is the recent past. But it will be equally informative, I think, so let's start by taking a very quick review of just a fraction of the major events of this past year. We entered into this year with yet another pressing scandal that was covered by the news stories. I'm talking about Deflategate here, and if you spent any time watching the news, you would have been convinced that Americans were replete with anxiety whether or not certain footballs were underinflated by 1.8 fewer pounds per square inch than other ones. But speaking of viewing screens that we watched that on, 2015 was the year that millions of Americans began to wonder if their TV screens would be wide enough to view what was beginning to look like the dozens of candidates for the Republican national debates. This is the year in Paris that 2 million people marched in solidarity in a rally following the horrific attacks on a French satirical magazine. Someone managed to land a gyrocopter on the front lawn of the White House. Greece faced very serious financial crisis. Under opposition from the president, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, I probably should have brought water up here, addresses a joint meeting of Congress. I need to start getting through these. In a recent article, satirist Dave Barry reminded us that this was the year that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the sale of genetically modified potatoes and apples, noting that they, quote, offer many nutritional benefits and are, quote, completely safe, according to Barry, provided that you do not provoke them. The Baltimore police arrested Freddie Gray for possession of a switchblade, put him in a van for transportation, and due to trauma perpetuated on him during the ride, Freddie fell into coma and ultimately died of spinal cord injuries related to the trauma. The California drought worsened. Donald Trump announced his candidacy for president. Trump then took the GOP lead, and to most experts' surprise, he still maintains his lead. The U.S. National Oceanic and Astrophysics Administration reports that July was the hottest month on the globe ever recorded. Terrorist attacks hit Paris and Mali, and for the first time since tracking it, global extreme poverty has actually fallen below 10%. However, 60 million people have been forcibly displaced from their homes, a very disturbing record. The Supreme Court ruled for same-sex marriage being legal across the U.S. And Kim Davis, a clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky, decided to ignore the Supreme Court's ruling. And mass shootings continue at a frightening rate across the U.S. I could go on and on and on. That's just the tip of the iceberg. But the point here is, it has already been quite some year, by human standards at least. And the reason I wanted to revisit and spend so much time doing that, well, it was to make a somewhat subtle point. We human beings, we appear on this world, this stage, so transiently. We do our bit part, and then we move on into the wings and wait for others. You see, the Egyptian Sphinx has looked down on the heads of Antony and Cleopatra and Alexander and Napoleon and Mussolini and World War II soldiers and many other world leaders and all those imposing figures. They're now just in the history books, but the Sphinx still remains. So the point of all of this, and the point of looking back, is to acknowledge that while these events that we just looked at of this past year seem somewhat monumental to us, they are just the blink of an eye for the universe, for God. Furthermore, most of the events are the results of us, we humans, living life out of a human perspective. And that's the same perspective that sees all these things as somehow monumental. How much better might it be if we at least attempted on a consistent basis to live life from a perspective that recognizes that even what we might see as big moments aren't really so monumental? And what if instead we tried to live life emphasizing those seemingly small things? A scripture from today admonishes us. What if we were to try to live into that admonishment? What if we clothed ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience? What if we always made it a point to bear with one another and forgive one another? What if we clothed ourselves with love and let peace rule in our hearts? What if we practice living lives that are thankful? We always tried to have gratitude in our hearts and taught and encouraged wisdom. And what if we practice joy every day? Or as Scrooge simply put it, what if we honored Christmas in our hearts and tried to keep it all year? Think about this past year. Think about this past year. Not the big stories in the life of the world, but the big stories in the life of you. Not the national stories that made headlines, but the personal stories. The personal stories that touched you, that affected you, that changed you. I encourage you, before looking forward to 2016, to take seriously this exercise of looking back at 2015. And as you do it with today's text in mind. Do it with today's text almost as a filter, as a measuring stick. I wish to see how you did this past year. Ask yourself, in the times that I look back on, particularly those times that I feel poorly about, the ones that I want to change, what was controlling my behavior? Was it the things that we read about here in these verses, or was it something less desirable? My suspicion would be that you will find that the places that less desirable things control your actions, those are the places that you're less satisfied from the past year. And that the places where you responded with love and peace and genuine concern, well, those are going to be the times, I suspect, that you're most proud of. Just a few days ago, we celebrated Christmas, a celebration of the birth story of a child who would grow up and teach us how to live life. He taught us what life looks like when it's lived to its fullest potential. Following those teachings, well, that does honor Christmas all year long. I suspect that as we have briefly started to think about this past year, there isn't a single person in here who can honestly say that they're proud of each and every moment or proud of how they treated each and every person This tends to be particularly true in communities like this, where there's been some difficulties. So like Scrooge, when we're confronted with the past, and we realize that it wasn't what we wanted for the future, I'd like to encourage us to let go of this past year's shortfalls, so that we're renewed and refreshed for moving on into the new year. I'm asking each of us to let go of our 2015 behaviors that were where we let negative things get the better of us. Forgive yourself of those moments. And remember, to the universe, to God, those shortfalls are gone in the blink of an eye. Shouldn't we be willing to do that for ourselves as well? 2016 is a new beginning. So approach it with new vigor and new vitality and new vision. And that brings us to the one New Year's resolution that I'm encouraging each of us to make. Honor Christmas in your hearts and keep it all the year. How? Well, there are a multitude of ways of doing it, but here's a good one. As God's chosen one, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against each other, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you should forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Amen.